You know, one of my favorite things in film is, like, a good monster. Like, that is one of the things about filmmaking that I love and have loved since I was little. And I love creatures as characters in the center of a horror franchise, but one of the things that really makes, I think, a monster linger is both a sense of giving the audience everything and showing them something really scary, but also an element of mystery. And with the character of Lubdon the Leprechaun, the question that I always come back to is, like, what does he want? It's unclear. He never brings it up.
He's literally so fucking cryptic. He's just like,
what's the most you've ever lost on a coin toss?
You know when, like, your girlfriend's being such a bitch and she just, like, won't tell you, like, what you did wrong, but, like, she expects you to just read her mind and just, like, apologize for, you know, being mean to her in front of your friends. And you don't remember doing that. It's like that, except, well, he does say it constantly.
I must have missed that, because in the movie that I was watching, it was like, there was the scene where, like, you know, the jets are snapping their way down the street, and then, like, the sharks are trying to control their... Did I watch the wrong movie?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine. I actually still think you'll contribute really easily to this conversation, even not having seen the film, because everything you think is, like, you know, it's true.
Yeah, you somehow knowing his name, despite it never being said in this film, but also having watched West Side Story.
Well, he just kind of looks like a Lubdon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh my god, totally.
Major Lubdon energy. Lubdon? How's that spelled?
Lubdam.
Yeah, that's what that is. That's
this is what's so untrustworthy about him is that his agenda that is unclear.
That's what is.
That's the only thing, because other than that, you'd be like, this dude rules. Like,
it's not his 4-inch ancient stiletto tips that he uses to literally pull eyeballs out with.
Mommy.
It's just that he's just not clear about what he wants. No, nobody's ever been more clear about what they want. That is my nice thing. Good job. I know it. There's the motivation.
You learn every single character's one thing really fast.
Yeah, that's why this movie is so good.
Okay, can we? So we had a preliminary discussion, and I got the sense that I would be the one kind of beating the leprechaun drum here. I had a good time watching the film Leprechaun, and I think that's fine to say.
No, that's fine. You're allowed. You're an American who's allowed to think that, and I love that you do. The way I felt was I needed to take rest breaks because I'm exhausted by the glacial pace, and I'm not only not scared, I'm so bored.
Becky, this must be so frustrating for you. We've watched so many movies that have, like, legitimate craft put into them that you really like, that I'm like, it was a snooze, and then Leprechaun rolls around, and I'm like, that was a good time.
Two thumbs up from Cashwell.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that, but sometimes it's tough.
They shoot him with a shotgun so many times.
So many times.
He, like, goes flying.
He flies away, and then he's like, and he looks properly maimed for some, you know, a good amount.
Yeah, this is some real green goop. Ugh.
I just think this movie is not funny enough to be funny, and it's not scary enough to be scary. It's just in the middle enough that I would laugh when it's appropriate, you know, but I couldn't be gripped by anything, and it just took too long. This entire movie is shot in wide shots that are, like, mostly group improvised. It's so terrible. It's literally, like, they didn't think anyone was gonna see this movie. That's like really, I really feel like nobody thought that it would get watched. And they were like, well, we all have to do this. Nobody wants to be here except Brother Warwick.
Yeah.
Brother Warwick.
I don't know. Am I alone on that? It's fine if I am.
Let me double check, but I believe his name is pronounced Warwick.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, or at least that's just what I've heard. What maybe I should have been more sure of that.
I'm not trying to be like a mean stepmother, okay?
I don't think you are.
I just like I watched it and I, you know.
look, I think there something is wrong with Dixon and I that this is like a type of movie that we can get into. I've been wanting us to do like a cruddy, fanciful, like weird straight to DVD horror series like this for ever since Dixon pitched me on this like podcast premise. Like I've wanted to do Full Moon stuff like Puppet Master or Killjoy or like Evil Bong. And I kind of like the stuff in this wheel. I like the kind of thing that this movie is doing, mm-hmm. but it's bad. But it's bad.
I want to be clear. I love a bad movie. This one is, you know, it's just too. It's not concentrated bad movie enough.
Oh,
you know?
Oh yeah.
That's what makes it ultra bad. When you watch The Room, every moment is the most captivating moment of your life because it's so potently filled with bad. This is like there's just so much room to breathe in this that no one asked for. So like I forget what's going on, like, you know, in between all of like the kills. So it's not bad enough in my opinion.
You're gonna love this series. And look, I think we can get into in the episode like there's some stuff on why the movie is this way and the thing it was supposed to be and the thing that they found on the set that they wanted it to be instead, that kind of dictates like the direction of the series. But like, yeah, there is definitely some like. There is some confused tone shit going on here. But I also get why... Dixon, I don't want to speak for you, buddy, but it seems like that might be some of the stuff that you'd vibe on. Am I reading that right?
I think so. I think something I actually wanted to ask Becky about, because she is an improviser, and I am decidedly not... is that this movie, you're right, feels like, and not just improvised in the sense of slapdash, like it actually feels like an improv scene that is going terribly, terribly yes. awry. Like everyone is, every line is somebody just kind of stating their goal and like yes! edging into something else and then being like, no, that's nothing. We got to just remind people what we're doing here. For me, that is really compelling because it like has the same sort of train wreck effect as watching a bad improv scene, but without the collective humiliation. Because when you're watching bad improv, it's in a room either full or completely empty of people. but it's just like everybody's brain is turning into one hive mind preoccupied with like, oh God, these are human beings and this is not going well. And so there's just this sort of like collective shame being visited upon everybody. But with the distance of the movie camera, with the distance of the movies, let me tell you, watching Jennifer Aniston just be like, I'm from Los Angeles. We don't. Yeah, it's so creepy in here. We never had spiders in Los Angeles.
What do you mean basement. This house has a basement? That's disgusting. That's literally disgusting. What do you mean there's dirt in the garden?
She is so
subhuman. Jesus Christ.
Wait, Dixon, what was your question?
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I think I just wanted to ask you, do you think you like felt a more personalized brand of pain as like an improviser? Because like it really did remind me of just like that sort of collective feeling of everything is going wrong and we're watching it.
Well, it has been, you know, I don't know, Jesus, like 8 years since I've done any improv, to be frank.
But, oh, wow. Yeah, sorry.
I guess. Oh, no, no, not at all. I mean, but I mean, I did train. So, like, I actually, that's a good point. Like, maybe just, like, putting myself in their shoes and, like, having to, like, riff on absolutely nothing with absolutely no one. Maybe that was a unique sort of pain that I was picking up on. I'm picturing, like, when the little kid is like, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm going to get him. I'm not afraid. He's just like cycling through that over and over by himself. And I'm like, somebody stop this kid.
Someone tell this kid to chill on the positive
just
affirmations.
Don't, yeah, just say less. I think, honestly, a lot of this, I would have had so much more fun if I were watching it with either of you. But I watched it like by myself, or like Jake was like playing, like on, like he was like playing a game or on his phone nearby. It just like was... It was not enough for me to be engaged in the bad. It was just enough for me to want to disengage because no one in the movie knew what they were doing and it was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis, on the other hand, though.
Yeah, an absolute king.
That dude's coming out of this movie, and I imagine the rest of them smelling like... It is nice that this franchise has, like, a good guy. That we can kind of... Warwick Davis is, like, one of the good guys. Best as I can tell, like, an absolute gentleman, really sweet. Everyone loves working with him. We'll get into the Warwick Davis of it all, but just to your point about the experience of watching this, like, this has come up with other, like, Dead Horse episodes before. With something like a Leprechaun or, like, a Honey 2, it is fucking... Or God forbid, like a Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. It is weird to watch this kind of movie by yourself with a notepad going, yes. the semiotics of the leprechaun riding the tricycle. What does it mean? Like, this is not the way these movies are meant to be watched by a lonely critic who's like formulating a take that they can bring to a podcast. You are not the evil stepmother for having that reaction to this movie. You are not
Thank
the
you.
Fucking killjoy. You are not losing your mind. We're all losing our mind. And on that note, welcome to Dead Horse.
Okay, true.
Yeah, Dixon, take it away.
Yeah, welcome to Dead Horse podcast about... fucking franchises that don't get talked about enough, the misbegotten, the overlooked, underdiscussed. And this is kind of a bit of all three. I've always been curious about these because I am extraordinarily, unfortunately, a horror guy. And not in the, like, I can say that, but I will never be as much of a horror guy as, like, anyone you run into in a store that sells action figures. Like, I have a pretty good knowledge of these kinds of things, but I'd never seen this series. And that this sort of, like, B to C tier of long-running franchises based around one particular monster is, like, really enticing to me. Something about it and the particular fan base they develop is of deep interest to me. And so I'm excited to learn more about... what makes Lobdon tick? Leprechaun, Lobdon himself, has never been, like, I suppose in your A tier, you've got, like, just in terms of, like, the pop culture permeation of these slasher villains, you've got your Jasons and your Michael Myers and maybe your Leatherfaces, and then...
Your Freddy's.
You're Freddy's. How did I forget Freddy's? Yeah, I'm a horror guy. Who's the fucking Burns dude in those Dreams on Elm Street movies?
He just feels like a Lobdon ancestor, you know?
and then you've got your B tier, which is probably like Pinhead, Ghostface. And then I think somewhere in the between B and C is where Leprechaun lives. And then you get into your Full Moon and your, like, your Wishmasters and whatnot. Mm. He's kind of bringing up the rear, but definitely has has a distinct identity and easily identifiable desires.
Identity.
He want he gold.
If you don't know what it is, it's gold.
I watched most of this with Savannah, and she was like, "So are you going to talk about how offensive this movie is?" And I said, "In what way?" And she said, "Generally, it's just kind of hard to pin down exactly what about this movie is like." Ooh, but there is this patina of like, I don't know about this, like, over the proceedings.
Yeah, like not only does he look like, you know, like a boil that's got shoes and a hat on, like just like he's crusty as hell, but there's just a general distrust of the movie, I think, that just sort of comes over you as you're watching, where you're like, I'm not in good hands. Like,
I'm in scabby, wet hands.
I'm not gonna be, I need to pay attention, or it's gonna get bad for me. Yeah. As a viewer.
This movie's about Lubdun the Leprechaun. Mr. O'Grady, a guy in an Irish fella in North Dakota, comes back from his mother's funeral having somehow found leprechaun gold, and that essentially curses the estate. The leprechaun arrives, kills his wife, and then Mr. O'Grady traps him in the basement of this farmhouse, but then suffers a stroke at the stress of having this evening.
Of being in Leprechaun.
Yeah. Spike Jonze's debut feature being Lubdun. sorry. 10 years later, Jennifer Aniston and her dad show up to this house, and the leprechaun is still trapped there, and she and a trio of handymen must accidentally unleash and subsequently defeat the leprechaun who's been trapped there for a decade. And understand any of the plot mechanics I just said, don't worry, the characters will say what just happened, what is happening, and what is about to happen at the slightest provocation.
Yeah. You know where my problems first began? Yeah, just one or two. Why do they have to move there? Why does Jennifer Aniston and her dad have to move there?
Well, it's a summer vacation, right? They're there for the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought
they had to move there.
I thought that they
bought the house.
They bought it. But I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and it says, rent the O'Grady farmhouse for the summer. Oh, no.
All right.
Oh,
no.
All right.
So
this movie
is really good. And as am I as a viewer. But I, you know, it just seemed so, like, why must this happen? You know, like, why would he pick that place for the summer?
Yeah, well, North Dakota as a state to home in on when you're, like, I guess a successful enough L.A. guy to own a Jeep and to, like, be like, yeah, let's rent a farmhouse for this summer. You zero in on North Dakota.
Firstly.
Yeah, and then zoom and enhance onto the O'Grady farmhouse, a completely derelict estate.
Like, even cleaned up. Even if it were, like, in pristine condition, shit house. Like, not good. Like, nobody go there. Like, it's not good. Especially you, dad. Like, it just... I was like, listen, I get it. You gotta be here for the movie. Let's give me one reason why. Come on, pitch me. Like,
There's something about... There's only one place that we can really set the definitive horror movie about leprechauns, and it's got to be this very California looking house in North Dakota. Why choose North Dakota. You're filming in California.
Why not just do California?
You could set it anywhere. You could set it anywhere. It says North Dakota in the movie? Because I missed that. I just thought they were in North California.
Nope, no, it is North Dakota.
Well, obviously.
Because she says, why do we have to go to New Mexico? And then he's like, we're going to North Dakota. And she's like, same thing.
Oh my god.
I'm like, oh my god, what an out of touch Valley Girl teenager. I bet she's going to fall in love with a craftsman on the property.
I hope some man who doesn't like anything she does teaches her how to...
I bet she doesn't even eat meatloaf.
I literally, like, if that's not a match made in heaven, I don't know what is. That man doesn't like anything. He was neutral to everyone.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so Tom is the romantic interest we're talking about here. One of the three handymen hired to clean up this estate before they live in it for the summer. And just, like, fucking hates her. Like, hates Jennifer Aniston. Just everything she does, he has some kind of, like, quippy little women thing.
But with, like, a fake-ass smile the whole time.
Yeah, the screenplay is explicitly endorsing his point of view at all times, and he's just belittling a woman the whole movie.
He hands her a literal broom, and he's like, ever used one of these before? And
she cut like, to her.
She's like, yeah, I can use a broom. I get my hands dirty. I'm a real person.
I think I'm getting a handle on this. is what she said. I think, so everyone knows, the whole theme... You know, with Jennifer Aniston is she's an out of touch LA girl who hates, you know, roughing it in North Dakota. And, you know, like any hot bitch. And she meets this absolutely, you know, just like sexless painter that she's obsessed with. He judges her for not wanting to be there, so she instantly is like, I'm gonna prove you wrong. And it's, you know, the most two-dimensional character arc I've ever seen. And she's really trying to impress him the whole time.
Listen, bud. Hey, this is the 90s. Women are treated equal.
Well, first off, my name isn't Bud. It's Nathan. I don't know many guys that are afraid of houses.
The roaring 1980s, everybody. The home video market is starting to explode. For the longest time, movies could only be seen in theaters or occasionally on TV. But for the very first time, VHSs are becoming a popular, affordable consumer good. And the market is exploding. Enter Trimark Video, which launches into mostly distributing things that no one else will. So when Peter Jackson's Dead Alive comes out and no one else wants to distribute it, Trimark has your back. And they want to branch out into producing their own stuff, both straight to video, which is including a lot of like pulpy Z-grade, low-budget horror. I think they have like the last movie that Roger Corman ever directed. But they wanted to get into the game. And they were kind of fielding things out to writers who were working. Enter a guy named Mark Jones, who had worked as a writer, mostly in cartoons, mostly in animation. Specifically, he's working in the weirdest era for Hanna-Barbera ever. No one really looks at like the late 70s, early 80s and says like, wow, that's the golden era of Hanna-Barbera. What are my favorite cartoons? It's gotta be the all new Super Friends Hour, What's New Mr. Magoo, Scooby's Laugh Olympics, Yogi's Space Race, Dinky Dog, The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo, the Scooby and Scrappy Doo Puppy Hour. That's what this guy's body of work looks like. But Dinky, hold on, what is this? Dinky Dog, beg pardon.
Dinky Dog.
Of course.
Dinky Dog.
I thought Dinky Doo was going to be an even smaller Scooby.
No, just... Dinky Dog is Scooby but worse, but same size.
My dinky dog.
Is that your dinky dog voice?
It's scary.
Fitting too that it would just be like the clone of Scooby in the alien resurrection lab that's like kill me.
Yeah, Scooby Doo goes through the prestige cloning machine and shoots Dinky Dog in the heart. Sorry.
Well, now that's the only thing that I can think about. That would have been better than this movie. Mark Jones pitches them the idea of what if the Lucky Charms mascot, but scary. He writes a script. He has an artist put some storyboards together. But he wants to direct it because, above all, he wants to prove to himself that he can direct a movie. He had never directed anything before. And in fact, Trimark was offering him more money than he would have made just directing it. They were offering him money not to direct it. He was begging them, please let me direct this. Now, the original idea, okay, was that this was going to be a legitimately scary children's film. This was going to be a children's fantasy horror movie. And that's why it's kind of silly. That's why it's kind of cartoony. That's why it kind of has like this weird, nasty sense of humor. But sometime during the production of it, they decided that they wanted to make it gorier. So a couple things are happening during the production of this movie. One of them is, number one, a guy named Warwick Davis, who is a wonderful actor who had burst onto the scene when he was a kid, who got cast as the lead Ewok in Return of the Jedi. And everyone on that movie loved working with him. Carrie Fisher hit it off with this sweet little kid really hard. George Lucas loved him. And eventually conceives of a fantasy movie just for Warwick when he gets a little bit older, and that movie is Willow. And Warwick gets excited about this movie because while maybe it's not the most dignified thing ever for a legitimate actor who happens to have dwarfism to play a leprechaun, this is also a realm where, like, this is a role that can belong to him, kind of. And he's talked about, like, being protective of, like, the kind of stuff that he can get cast for. At one point during the production of this movie, he gets a lung infection, and they have to shoot lots and lots of scenes without him, and then film his stuff later. So you have lots of reaction shots of the actors looking at what is supposed to be a leprechaun.
That actually makes so much sense.
Doesn't it?
I didn't know about that. Yeah.
Okay, do you remember the scene in this movie where a cop pulls the leprechaun over and he scratches his face off and, like, runs into the woods and snaps his neck? That's a pickup.
Yeah.
That's all a reshoot so that they could make it gorier later. Basically,
that is the best scene of the film.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean ACAB. Which, I don't want to spoil Leprechaun Back to the Hood, but sort of a theme. So just something to possibly get excited for. If the promise of the leprechaun hitting a bong isn't enough for you, don't worry. We're going to see lots of cops get turned into fucking beet juice in these movies. but they were finding stuff on this movie, which is that, like, You kind of can't go too big. That's the thing Warwick Davis is finding while he's buried under pounds of makeup, is like, oh, there's no such thing as too big with this character. I can kind of go bananas. But this thing has this weird tension between being like a live-action Scooby-Doo episode, which is kind of why the characters are written that way. This guy also wrote for ALF, which is why all of the, like, the comedy writing and the zingers are so tacky and so shitty. That's why you have a smart aleck kid going like, can we please inject some reality into the situation? You call this a basement? And you have this tension between, like, the thing the movie was supposed to be and the thing it ends up being.
Yeah.
And eventually over the course of this series, they just lean in on, like, okay, this isn't a movie for children. This is a movie made for, like, stoned, shithead 20-somethings. Now, this is one of the first... I think it's the first Trimark movie to get a theatrical release, and it was a hit. Like, a lot of people went to go see this. It made its budget back, like, a couple times.
Dang.
And then Leprechaun 2 goes to theaters, and then there are, like, what, like, 7 straight-to-video sequels after this?
I think there are 9 in the series. Let me check that before we... 9 is the number we've been saying to each other and laughing and sighing at the concept of that number. But...
So much about that makes so much sense, BJ. Just, like, the push and pull of what this movie is trying to be versus what it actually is, I think is what is so exhausting, more so than the premise. The premise is something I could absolutely get down with, right? But yeah. It's the confusion of what it even is yeah. that is what's exhausting, because it takes too long for the movie to figure it out, and then at the end I think it's still confused, and that's what's yeah. tiring. And like, there were so many times when the leprechaun would jump out and the person's reaction was more like, oh, what are you? And it wasn't like a horror, like, ah, what are you? It was like, this is almost inconvenient. Like, what are you doing? Like, and then he would pull an eyeball out, and then they're screaming. So it was like your emotions were never, you know, you were like confused and then bored and then horrified and then disgusted, and then it was like a little bit funny. Like, it was just such a strange roller coaster of emotions and a strange order of emotions that I think you went on. And it sounds like largely because they weren't even looking at what would have been horrifying, which is him in all that makeup.
Yeah. That is, I did not, yeah, so much of this movie is just like, when it's not stuff that was picked up, it is like everybody trying to figure out what to do, that the leprechaun is a given threat, like outside the farmhouse or something, or like falling victim to just random bear traps or something. Like a lot of bear trap stuff in this movie.
You know how like people like use bear traps still, and like it's just like a big theme in like American culture.
Yeah, you usually yeah. put them right outside the doors of your barn. Because yeah. that's the main animal that's going to be walking through that throughway.
Oh my god. Every time I drive into like Edgewood or like East Atlanta, or like a place where like my car ostensibly like could get broken into, I always have to like
yes.
set a bear trap right by the driver's side, right by the passenger side. It keeps nailing me. Yeah. I really like miss my minute. Achilles tendon. Yes. Yeah.
And she, the whole time we're going, I'm gonna get him.
I'm not afraid. I'm brave. Too much vamping.
And they give it to a little kid. I think the wheel of what actor is Dixon gonna pick on in a kind of not okay way has rolled around to this little fucking child with an E. I hate him. It's not the kid actor's fault. He is simply given the most obnoxious dialogue possible. Like that's the thing, is so much of this movie's dialogue does not feel written. It feels like collaboratively improvised in a really slapdash way, except for the kid. The kid has bits. The kid is like one of those smart fucking kids where he's just like fucking like way too precocious, way too knowledgeable, and he's like kind of acting like a dad to his friend Ozzy, which we have to talk acting like a dad in big air quotes. He's being extraordinarily mean, just like a real piece of shit to ostensibly his friend Ozzy. Do we have to talk?
We have to. 100%.
There's. Can
it's
I?
Mark
okay.
Colton,
can I?
Right.
The actor.
Yeah. It's Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He's good.
He's great.
I think he's very good in this movie. I think he's the one person who comes away from this besides Warwick Davis, not irreparably damaged in my eyes. And, like, I like Jennifer Aniston. I do. I've seen her be, like, perfectly charming. I don't care for Friends, but, like, she's good in it. She's very
great
bad.
Great comedic sitcom actor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's bad in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, she's working with nothing, though. Her script, like, she's supposed to, like, hate things and love things based on what, like, any reasonable person wouldn't. So, like, she's just has to go with this shit script. Like, I feel like despite her being bad in this, she was something to look at. Not, like, physically. Like, she just,
I
like,
know what you mean, yeah.
She cared, you know, in the film. So I appreciate that. But, yeah, bad for sure.
Yeah.
Ozzy's, like, magnetic. But Ozzy, you know, it was like he was doing a children's play. That wasn't good to me. I did not think it was good. I thought it was, like, winning in that if I took my child to go see him in a play, they'd be like, I feel bad for him. I hope he gets the brain operation.
Nickelodeons of Mice and Men.
He was playing... Exactly. Literally, I was gonna say that. He literally is playing this, like, that's, like, the vibes I was getting. Like, I can't look at that and be like, yeah, great performance. I'm sorry. Well,
I think that's also partly due to his costume. Because this whole... There is so much in this movie where they're talking about Ozzy and Ozzy's brain. But but they don't, like... The way he's written and the way he's performed I'm trying to figure out a sensitive way to talk about this because the movie is incredibly insensitive about the way that it speaks about this. Like, I think Ozzy is
supposed to have some kind of, like, mental disability, and the little shit kid is like, we gotta use these gold coins. They find the gold coins first. They're like, we gotta use these gold coins to get you a brain operation. And then later on, Jennifer's like, you can't do that. And he's like, I know that, but he doesn't. I was like, you brought it up.
You just gotta believe.
But Ozzy, so the crux of the whole thing is, like, the leprechaun wants the gold. Ozzy and the kid had the gold. Ozzy swallowed a gold coin. So when they return all of them, the leprechaun only has 99, and the 100th gold coin is in Ozzy's belly. Now, when Ozzy eats this gold coin, what could he have done different? You know, like, what would he have done to, like, sort of salvage this part in my eyes? Absolutely nothing. Like, I feel bad for this actor. But he had to swallow a gold coin and be like, oopsie. Like, it was...
Okay. Here's the thing. For our dear listener who maybe ostensibly haven't seen the movie Leprechaun, when Jennifer Aniston and her dad roll up to the North Dakota Leprechaun, North California Leprechaun house, and they're going through the basement, and dad's like, don't judge a book by its cover, and she's like, this book doesn't even have a cover. Got 'em, zing. They bring by some people to work on the house, and it's really the perfect trio of people to work on a house. It's a chunkhead himbo. It's a Bart Simpson child, and it's a weird man child. And for the first 15 minutes of the movie, he's just kind of written like Ed from Good Burger. And then 20 minutes in, they start talking about him like he has a neurological disability.
Thank you. Yeah. That's exactly what my confusion was I was like, I didn't realize he was supposed to be like this. Like, he just seemed like a little oafish, not like a kid could look in his eyes and say, you need surgery, and he'd be like, yeah, you're right.
You're right.
There was a difference.
Behind my back.
I feel very validated, PJ, that you saw that discernment as well, because I was just like, that was not how he started out.
Yeah. I think anyone who watched the movie could track that discordant thing that's going on. And oh my god, it's like, we were talking about Jennifer Aniston, and it's like a very big like funny fun fact of her career that she was in this like dog shit first movie in a long-running horror series before the year before she gets Friends, and that she is like famously ashamed of this movie. And there's been like a little tension with like, Because I think if you're Warwick Davis and you do have limited opportunities in the roles that get offered to you.
So true.
You do have fewer roles that you get to pick from, and when you get something like a flagship horror series that like belongs to you, that you get to go and do cons for, like of course it would feel weird that like the cool pretty girl in this movie who popped into becoming like a mainstream, like beloved, yeah, cool sitcom actor and celebrity, it would feel weird for this person to like put down this series of movies, but this movie doesn't do any non-Warwick Davis person any favors. Like,
yes,
there's really only so much she can do. I mean, she's kind of written, like, what if Daphne
written's
from Scooby-Doo...
Word.
Written's a strong word. But it's funny, I'm not getting the improvisation thing as much from them, just because it does feel like undirected actors reading a transcript from a 70s Hanna-Barbera cartoon, or from like an episode of ALF, from a guy who like doesn't know his way around like staging this stuff. It's really, really unfair the stuff that she gets, because I guess her whole arc is that she needs to like learn to believe in magic, stop being uptight, and like help defeat the leprechaun. I guess she exclusively speaks in complaints about this like very okay house, and it's so funny to watch this movie now, because like some of the things that they use as shorthand for her being like a prissy bitch are like being vegetarian and using a cell phone.
Yeah, the vegetarianism in particular, they get their digs in about that. She doesn't want to eat North Dakota meatloaf. What a bitch, dude.
And it's not like, in the end she learns to eat meat. Like, why did we do that?
Like, yeah, it is just like, fuck you for this.
Yeah.
Just separately, like on a separate note, fuck you if you do this.
That would have been like a solid character arc. I mean, okay, we were talking about how Ozzy swallowed the gold coin, and that is the one thing keeping the leprechaun from, like, fucking off and, like, going away. We should say, to just talk about, like, the leprechaun as a monster and his agenda for a second, because this is the thing that's really killing me. I was maybe 5 minutes into this movie in like the cold open that establishes like the leprechaun like killing this older couple when I had the realization, oh, you cannot build a single movie around this monster, let alone 9 movies. This cannot care. He just doesn't have enough of a thing. He doesn't really have like special powers or like an inventive way of killing people. He doesn't have a very clear personality.
He's even improvising each time.
He's kind of improvising, but he doesn't have like much of a game to work with. The leprechaun as a character feels like a bit that your friend won't quit doing.
Yes!
It's a real PJ of a character. This person has just been in the car with you for half an hour being like, hee, I want me gold. And you're like, okay. No, that was so funny when we passed by that McDonald's like an hour ago. That was killer, but you have to stop. And then you're two-thirds of the way into a movie and he's like, hey, you know what the thing I want is me gold. And you're like, oh, okay, because I remember.
Yeah, and at this point, you've arrived at the beach house and like hit the, like you've gotten where you're going.
You're unloading groceries, and you're like, hey, I'm so sorry, my arms are full. Can you get that bag? And he's like, I want me. Okay, yep, I get it. We were joking earlier about how he's always stating what he wants. The problem in this movie seems very resolvable to me, because the leprechaun is kind of just like, he's kind of just like a little guy who sucks,
yeah,
and wants a very specific thing. I feel like if you just sat down and were like, hey, Lubdon, was it? Hi, pleasure to meet you. This is our beach house. I'm so sorry about the gold coin thing. Let's help you find these coins. My friend swallowed one. If you want to just vibe for like couple hours, we can put on a movie, I'll brew some tea. We just need to get this out of his system.
Exactly.
We can get you your gold coins.
This is exactly my issue, is it literally feels like you could reason with him, but he's just an asshole. Like, he's not even scary. He's someone you could literally be like, please, please, I'm serious. No, seriously, like, I'm not even joking. Could you please stop? And then he doesn't, and you're just like, ugh, it's so annoying.
I'm gonna have to take a firm stance here that I never once during this movie thought they should just negotiate with the leprechaun. I'm not sure that's fair to ask of the film.
I think the reason, I'm not saying they should have, but I think the reason that I think that is because the threat felt so, the threat felt so on a whim of his emotions. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you do this thing and you will get killed. It was just like, you know, I'm in a really bad mood today.
And also, I think part of it is because, like, in his efforts to get the gold, I mean, he is an immortal, you know, like, fairy creature being with vaguely defined powers. Like, he certainly is a threat, but, like, he's not, like, a Terminator, you know? He's not just, like, filling up with bullets and then just, like, keeps on walking. Like, guns work. He is easily, like, they nail up the house and, like, that works pretty good for a while. The couple of times they shoot him, he's like, okay, we've got 10 minutes, you know? He's like,
you can
put a stop to him real quick. He will find a little vehicle to chase you around in after you, you know, go to try to find a solution to the situation, but you can put a stop to his shenanigans.
He pops in and out, which is the scary part, is he does pop in and out, like, of, like, random places, so then it's like, but then why did the door work, you know? Like, he can just appear in a cupboard, like, we nailed the door and that was, like, working. Like, why did that work?
I don't know. There's this character has at once, you know, too many things and absolutely nothing. Like, he builds in a barn, he builds a car. He creates a car like Tony Stark in the first Iron Man. Obadiah Stane is saying, he built a little car in the desert from scraps. And so he's, like, very smart, but also he has some magic sometimes, but his powers are weakened because he doesn't have his gold, question mark? Is it kind of a one-to-one where if he has all 100 pieces of his gold, his powers are, like, very strong and they get decreasingly strong with every gold piece he's missing? Or is it just, like, gold equals powers, not 100 gold equals no powers? But, like, really, they introduce so many questions, but the only answer you're getting is that he wants his gold. I agree with every single thing said here, and none of this is dissuading me from calling this movie a 7 out of 10.
What's up?
I was just gonna say, nothing can dissuade Dixon, because that's the mood he's in.
I want me pulp.
I'm trying to nail down exactly what his powers are, because for a lot of the movie, again, he's just a man who's bad. He just kind of, like, runs at you and scratches you and, like, breaks stuff. He has Junie's powers from Spy Kids. He can perfectly copy anyone's voice. He can generate heart attacks from 20 feet away.
But did he do that? Or was it just an incredibly stressful day for this guy and he was kind of making fun of him? I don't know. This guy has a heart attack and the leprechaun's just being like, oh, what's going on with your heart? And
I would love for the leprechaun to make fun of me, like, anytime I have, like, a medical problem. Like anytime I'm, like, I'm worried about a toothache, he's like,
oh, what's that, a cavity? Go to the dentist, you'll be in poverty instantly.
It's like I've locked him up in a box every time I like take a shower. He's like, ooh, that mole, a little irregular around the margins, that mole. Maybe go see a dermatologist.
Ooh, what's wrong? You got whiskey dick, do ya?
Just roasting your human ailments. Just absolutely roasting them.
You came pretty fast. Better get back on the Adderall.
Oh my god. Okay, wait. I have a question. So Ozzy is the first person to see the leprechaun. And he keeps trying to tell them. And they keep gaslighting him about it because he's I guess being like it was a fairy, it was a one-eyed, four-fingered purple people eater. I guess that's just like his MO a lot of the time. And that's why everyone's like, Ozzy, you can't keep believing in magic and talking about fairy tales. But they've seen the leprechaun like a couple times by then, and he keeps offering in-world solutions that the leprechaun has said out loud to them. And Jennifer Aniston keeps saying stuff like, it's not a leprechaun. You have to get over this. There's no such thing as magic. We can't just find a four-leaf clover. Why are they debating this?
For me, the most, like, reprehensible scene, the scene where it just becomes, like, how badly they treat Ozzy becomes so clear, is when he runs up from the basement and is like, there was a leprechaun. There, he looked awful. He said he wanted his gold. Like, he did magic to me. Like, explicitly talking about, and they go down and they find a rat. And Tom's like, I think I found your leprechaun. Like, no, what?
That's nothing like what I said.
like, even if you don't fully believe the situation, it's
not
like,
what it was instead. I guess I found your leprechaun. You always mix that up with rats, Ozzy.
You're always seeing rats and saying they're guys.
There's a man down here. Ozzy, that's a cockroach.
Dude, Ozzy needs surgery so bad.
He's got to get that brain surgery that'll make him... Well, I guess it's just like the Homer Simpson crayon surgery, where they pull it out of his brain and then he just becomes smart again. I would actually go so hard on them bringing Ozzy back and he's like Professor Ozzy. What if he walked in at like the end of three and he was like, I know how to stop the leprechaun, and he's there and he has like elbow pads on his jacket. He takes a bite out of an apple like Jeffrey Rush in Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but I know a little something about the
future.
Don't
say some shit. Don't say some shit.
I'm not gonna say some shit, but just you might have to wait a while.
Does he get to rip a bong too?
So I did misspeak. There are 8 films in this series.
Eight.
SMH. Nice.
That's just 2 months.
Another thing is. No. Another thing is that was.
That's just till June.
It's only 2 months of our lives, gang.
Are you joking?
Get comfy.
Oh God. Anyway, she. Also, what's funny is, like, the whole thing is, like, Jennifer Aniston is an L.A. girl who just likes her material things, and she doesn't believe in fairies and shit like dumb old Ozzy. And then Ozzy's like, we gotta find the four-leaf clover. And then she's like, Ozzy! She's already seen this leprechaun, like, move things with his mind and, like, pop in and out of cupboards and show up at the psych ward and, like, do insane, evidently magical shit. And then she's looking in the patch, and he's like, you just gotta believe, as though, like, no, he says, you gotta have faith, as though the whole movie was like, I have faith in leprechauns, like, I believe in leprechauns, as though that was, like, the theme, which it really wasn't. And she, in her sarcasm, is just like, Ozzy, that is never going to happen, okay? Like, you just gotta, like... Like, shut up! And then she just takes, like, a handful of clovers, and she's like, oh, I'm never gonna find it. And then she, like, or she was like, I believe, like, sarcastically, and then she does find it. And I was like, so in her, our main character, sarcastically, in a wide shot, again, also drops it and then picks it back up, and that's the shot they went with.
Oh my god.
There is,
in her sarcasm, yeah, that's when she finds it. It's just like, you know, they were just like, we gotta get through this, guys. They were, when they were making their, they were like, somebody gotta,
I don't know if they like just didn't get all the shots they needed or something, but there are a ton of things that violate like real basic tenets of filmmaking. And maybe it's because this guy is a first time director and was like new at this, but there's like, and this is, like, yeah, everything is a wide. There's also very strange editing. A scene that really bumped me from Leprechaun was, so Tom, the hateful fella, is, like...
Which one? No, that actually doesn't narrow it down. Is he the mullet man?
I think he's mullet man. His name is Tom, right?
Yeah.
I believe you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just triple check here. No, his name is Nathan.
Great. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Fuck.
His name is Nathan. I'm so confident his name
was Tom. I was like, absolutely. Like, of course. Yeah, he was born Tom.
Nathan.
Classic Tom.
Is like, I'm gonna go outside and see if I can't deal with this leprechaun problem. And walks to the front door and opens the front door in this shot. The next cut is him on the porch, having clearly just left, but a few steps away from the now closed door. There wasn't a shot of the door closing, and he's in a physical space that is, like, the most discombobulating possible, because he's a few steps away from the door. If they open the door, and then they cut to him wandering the grounds, we as an audience would be able to fill in the blanks there and just be like, okay, he's, like, gotten around. Or if they had a shot of the door closing behind him in that same wide where he's leaving the house, then you could cut to him wandering the grounds. Or you could just, like, have the whole thing play out where he opens the door in the wide inside the house and then cut to the wide outside the house, he's closing the door behind him. They chose the worst possible, most discombobulating physical location for him to be in. It bothered me. I don't know why, when there's so many other pressing issues, but just, like, this basic, like, lack of grasp of space and time in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, Evil Dead, a movie that had much, much less money, is able to seamlessly blend 3/4 of a movie shot in a cabin and 1/4 of a movie shot in a guy's garage. And they're able to really creatively blend those two by, like, cutting from entrances and exits and perspectives and shit. This movie had $1 million and, like, actual marquee names and just, like, could not figure it out.
I can't believe it had $1 million.
$1 million?
That's insane for what this is. That is actually unfathomable that this is...
Yeah. There are movies made for so much less money that look so much better because, like, there is, I think, PJ, when we were texting, there is not, like, in no frame of this movie, with the exception of Warwick Davis's performance, there's nothing about this movie that feels like someone needed it to be made.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a project...
It's not like a labor of love. Like, it doesn't feel like any... Like, that's the thing, is I don't know why. Who for? And that's why what PJ was saying makes so much sense of what it was and then what it became. And I think that's, like, such a huge problem of, like, what it was trying to be. But it doesn't feel like it was anyone's baby. But it also doesn't feel like audiences were clamoring for this to exist. So it's like,
apparently they were.
Well, they ended up... I mean... As a little kid, I was terrified of this movie. I was so scared of this movie. Like, I saw, like, clips of it, and, like, it ruined, like, a month of my life.
Whoa, so, like, I didn't know
I feel
that.
Like, the image of him as a leprechaun is so, like, sticky. Like, it's such, like, a good idea. Because it's, like, actually genuinely making something scary that is otherwise, like, so harmless. So, and that is scary. But then the way they do it is like a Looney Tune, but for adults, but without motivation except gold.
Yeah. Well, just real quick shout out, though. Another good thing about this movie is I think the leprechaun's actual design and makeup are quite good.
Yeah,
are quite
agreed,
nasty.
Agreed.
Yes.
It looks like a good way to, like, if we were going to make the Lucky Charms guy fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, this was a really good way to physicalize that, like, kind of stoned idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like, he's got, like, black crusty lips, like, huge bags around his eyes. His skin is, like, bulbous and pockmarked and just icky. He's got sharp little teeth and sharp fingernails. Like, he is
gross. An
unsettling-looking guy.
Good
and
monster,
right, Becky,
in that respect.
Yeah, people
expressive
should be yelling.
Makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how old Warwick Davis was when they made this?
600.
Let me check.
So check this out. He was younger than we are. Warwick Davis was born in 1970. For reference, he is the same age as Kevin Smith. So the same year that Kevin Smith is putting out Clerks and he's 23, Warwick Davis is getting buried under pounds and pounds and pounds of makeup that he has to make come to life as, like, a 600-year-old guy snapping cop necks. And There are movies in this series that I'm, like, kind of nervous about, and I don't know, I, like,
which
I'm looking
Peter?
Forward to... What's up?
Which one's Peter?
Well, Leprechaun Origins is the one that everyone says is the best, I think. Actually, it's interesting that you bring up Evil Dead, because it kind of feels, like, a little bit derivative of Evil Dead.
Mm.
It is trying to do the menacing, campy, witchy comedy horror thing. I swear to God, there are a couple moments where it seems like they rebuilt the shaky cam rig so that they can have, like, the leprechaun's point of view, like, racing at someone. I guess the thing I'm worried about with this franchise is a thing that Dixon has kind of spoken about before, which is, like, the Sharknado thing, where they're not just making, like, a knowingly silly, crazy horror comedy that's just first and foremost trying to be entertaining. The intentionally doing a so bad it's good thing can become really tiresome.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like... I'm having a hard time articulating this. Someone save me. Someone help me out.
Sorry.
No, please.
Oh, I think what you're worried about happening is that, like, the successful, or, you know, air quotes, successful elements of this movie, they're just going to get, like, brought more and more to the forefront. And, like, those elements, like, being the, like, kind of self-aware, like, oh, people thought this movie was shitty, so let's just, like, really fucking lean into it. That's what I'm really worried about In Space. Because
feel
like I am really worried about Leprechaun 4 In Space. Because that title is sort of like, and I guess there's nowhere else to go but space for the leprechaun. And there's going to be probably a lot of CGI, like 97 era CGI in that. That's going to be a tough one. But, like, I think I'm hoping that because this movie, as you said, PJ, was sort of like torn or being pulled in a lot of different directions during its inception, I'm hoping that now that this movie is done and dusted and they want to make another one, they understand that, like, okay, like, this is for adults, we're going to lean more. I hope they lean more into the gore, into the kills, and make it, like, more of a proper low-budget slasher series. Because that's another thing. Barely anyone gets it in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the cop dies, and the O'Grady's at the beginning of the movie get it. But that's it. Like, you're introduced to four or five characters at the start of a horror movie. You're expecting them to get picked off one by one. But they're just kind of, like, fucked around with, mostly. One guy gets bit by the leprechaun, goes to the hospital, and is okay. Just misses this whole thing. It's just like, a leprechaun bit me. Bye movie.
Yeah. I was more excited for the rest of the franchise because I imagined it would be somewhat tighter in any way. Like, just literally in any way tighter. So I was hopeful that, like, I don't know, the sequel will be more fun for me to watch. But you bring up a good point, PJ. Like, I don't want them to belabor the point. I'm jealous of Dixon's, like, feelings about it, because there's nothing better than watching something that didn't mean for you to love it this way. You know, there's nothing better than, like, watching something that, like, the lightning in a bottle sort of situation where it's like, they made this, like, ridiculous thing and I had so much fun watching it and never for the reason that they thought. Like, that's always the best case scenario. I couldn't muster it, and I really wanted to feel that way. I'm hopeful that there will be some films in the franchise that I will have fun watching because maybe they'll be so bad, but I do think it's kind of like when your uncle sort of learns that when he does that one bit, you always crack up really hard, and he never even knew why it was funny in the first place because it was at his expense, and then he keeps doing it and doing it and doing it, and, like, it hurts everybody involved. I can really see that becoming the situation. I'm, like, pretty nervous. I'm pretty nervous. I'm almost thinking it's gonna be a bit of a parabola, you know? Like, I feel like it's gonna be, like, I'm hoping 2 and 3 is, like, actually fun, and then I think it's gonna get pretty bad.
Well, so, like, this series is mainly known because there are that many entries. The main thing people know about this is that there is a sequel called Leprechaun in the Hood. Like, they kept going with this thing for so long that they got to this kind of, like, transcendently silly place. It gets in on the bit. The thing I have to look forward to is that, like, the only person who stays involved with these is Warwick, is our dude. And I'm interested to, because I'm kind of wondering, like, how much agency did he kind of have in, like, the direction that this series was taking, because ostensibly, like, no Warwick, no Leprechaun. But Dixon, you looked like you discovered the face of God.
I was looking
God
at
a second ago.
We've talked a lot about the director of this first movie. So when Becky, you were saying, like, I hope that they tighten things up, they figure things out in the sequel, I looked up the director of Leprechaun 2 and was surprised that the director of Leprechaun 2's name is Blue on Wikipedia. I was not expecting to have so I was looking it up. And this guy, I'm kind of like, this guy went to Harvard with Conan O'Brien, wrote for the Harvard Lampoon, and has directed a shitload of TV.
Oh my God.
He directed Idle Hands, a good movie, and, like, tons of episodes of The Office and Ugly Betty, Gilmore Girls, The OC, Tales from the Crypt. And so I was like, that's all really interesting. And what actually, like, melted my mind into, like, a drinkable service you could subscribe to, like, Huel, or a fucking personal life. He is married to American writer and producer Amy Lippman. His nephew is Academy Award-nominated actor Timothy Chalamet.
What?
Next.
No. What? No. No. This movie.
Leprechaun 2, directed by Timothy Chalamet's uncle. I'm so excited. You're just talking about the bitch your uncle doing. Timothy Chalamet's like, oh, fucking Uncle Rodman's always doing his Leprechaun 2 bits.
God. Oh my God, I didn't know it was going to be so accurate.
This has to be our experience with this movie has to be fucking Timothy Chalamet's life, right?
Yeah.
Just being like,
yeah. Okay, I mean,
I got it. You directed Where Is Me Gold? Very, very. That's so
nice,
funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is bananas, and it's like, huh? They always had a connection. They always fucking had a connection, even when it's Leprechaun 2.
Oh my God.
Why couldn't uncle have done Leprechaun 2? That's bananas. Has he seen it? Do we think Timothy's seen it?
do we think Timothy Chalamet has seen Leprechaun 2?
Oh, I hope so.
I hope. I bet.
I feel like probably.
I do bet.
Do you think if you're a nepotism kid, like, that actually lets you off the hook for having to, like, see any of the stuff that your parents or your uncles did? Because it's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I don't think you have to, but I just feel like he did.
I hope he did.
He's got...
That would actually be, like, a very... That would be a sexy trait if he had seen all the Leprechaun movies and just casually had, like, extensive knowledge of all of them.
Yes, agreed. Just, like, generous, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, kind and charitable.
Absolutely.
If he wins his Oscar one day, I really hope he peppers in some kind of I want me gold thing.
What if he says,
speech.
I got me gold?
I got, and Uncle Rodman, I got me gold.
Holy shit.
I was like, okay. Okay,
no, just,
what?
It's just like a 1 second space between him walking off and the orchestra playing where you can hear everyone go, what?
What if his walk on music is the theme from Leprechaun? What if it's that little flute theme? So I don't know. We're drawing down to a close. I hope it's not a big disservice to the canon of American horror cinema that we don't have like a whole ton to say about auteur Mark Jones's 1993 film of the cinema Leprechaun. But I think even though her unmistakable winning, quintessentially frazzled comedic energy is like totally on display in this movie, and you can totally see like, oh, this person has something, like this person has a thing, I understand why Jennifer Aniston is not going to horror conventions or doing Leprechaun retrospectives for this about to be 30-year-old movie.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, Christ.
Hey, that's 93 you're talking about.
I'm sorry, about to be 29.
Thank you.
I'm trying to bring this movie up to my level so that I can deal with the anxiety of being about to be 30. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's okay. I have my life together.
You're fine.
I have a movie podcast.
You want you gold. It's fine.
Me want me gold. They want they gold.
They them want their gold.
Leprechaun, but a couple of the vowels have been replaced by X's.
Oh my god.
Hey, me body is queer and not gendered. All cops are bastards.
The scariest people in this movie are the police. Nothing in this movie is scarier than that sheriff at the end.
Yeah,
that's
a fact.
That terrifying fucking sheriff,
oh,
who
God.
Doesn't believe them about the leprechaun. Because
yeah.
Ozzy is always calling them up and being like, I found a Dracula. And they're like, that's that's not a Dracula. There's gum on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah, I mean, I made the No Country for Old Men bit earlier, but the sheriff they call, like, really is akin to Tommy Lee Jones's character in terms of both the seriousness with which he approaches every situation and volume of crags. Like, he is...
He should have gotten an end monologue about what the leprechaun says to him about this world that we're all in, this world that we all choose to be a part of.
I just keep turning around something in my head that loved Don Sidney.
He needs a Sorkin monologue at the end. Someone should have gotten a Sorkin monologue talking down to Jennifer Aniston and calling her, like, a flibbertigibbet. It should have been Ozzy. He should have gotten, like, a Coke monologue to spit at her.
Yeah, about, I, like, yeah, there's just one bit about how, like, she's uncultured because she doesn't like Gilbert and Sullivan or something like that. So we're gonna switch things up a bit.
Yes.
We're a little worried about potentially ranking a series of 8 films based on completely arbitrary criteria. So we wanted to ask each other, what movie in the series are you most looking forward to?
Let me look at this list of movies again.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So go ahead.
Mine's a bit of a cheat. I did see a list. I saw a ranking of, like, best of them. Mm-hmm. If I give that away, is that okay?
Yeah, no, I'm interested to hear.
I am a very anti-spoiler person, so I'm actually pretty upset about this. But I just saw in the ranking, number 1 out of all of them was Leprechaun 3.
Okay. Interesting.
And that was above 1 and 2. So I'm feeling like I'm excited for that. And frankly, I'm a little bit excited. I'm hopeful that Leprechaun Origins is the so bad I can have fun with it. I'm so desperate. Like, if I don't get one of these movies to be so bad that I have fun with it, like, I will be very upset. Like, this is so much of my life and time that, like, there has to be at least one of them where it's just, like, so fucking ridiculous that, like, I have a great time. So that's my goal. That's my wish for myself. 2022 is my year. So, yeah.
I'm really interested to see Leprechaun Returns, the final one, the one after Origins. Because I don't know a whole lot about the series, but I understand that if Origins is, like, the sort of nadir of the series, like, Leprechaun Returns is, like, a really concerned attempt to course correct.
Yes. Like, I could see that.
And I'm really interested in, like, having just a complete boondoggle and then having to be, like, we completely lost sight of what works about this franchise. But about the Leprechaun films. So I'm really interested to see a stripped down, back to basics, let's get their asses back in the seats.
Yes.
Energy brought towards the Leprechaun films.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god. I'm curious about both of those. I'm really curious about the 2018 one.
Yes.
I'm really, really curious about someone, like, 25 years after the first movie being like, we really have to restore the Leprechaun canon. We really have to get this back to its former glory. I'm really curious about Leprechaun 3, just because, like, the idea of... Once this series commits to, like, the Leprechaun goes to Vegas. Hey, look, the Leprechaun has sunglasses on, and he's smoking a cigarette. Like, once we get there, like, that sounds like... like, silly.
Hey, everybody, the Leprechaun smoking a cigarette.
Just an announcement.
Hey, guys, look. Someone lit a Black and Mild and made Warwick hold it. Doesn't that look crazy? That's so silly that I can, even if that movie is dog shit, I can kind of vibe on the absolute ridiculousness of that, because that's kind of the thing that I like about this, like, low budget horror convention, like, silly pulpy trash. I think that's where I'm gonna start having fun. I'm kind of excited about the Leprechaun Goes to Space, and I'm curious about Leprechaun in the Hood. I wish they weren't written and directed by white people.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the only thing that makes me, like,
I'm nervous about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's a white person, like, you know, it's just gonna be the worst archetypical.
Yo.
Oh god, that's gonna fucking hurt. It's biting into ice cream with your fucking teeth, like, ugh.
God, well put. The one I'm curious about Leprechaun 2, it's made 1 year later, different writer, different director. The one thing I know about it is, and this is just as much as anything, just a heads up for everyone here. I think the plot of Leprechaun 2 is that he demands to find a bride.
Oh, no.
And, like, I think he finds a woman and decides that he will marry her. So I'm sure that's going to leave a really, probably a good taste in my mouth.
I need probably... me wife.
Me want me wife.
Me wife. I...
Leprechaun's a wife guy.
I really got Becky.
Let me go down really bad for his wife.
Me wife.
Me wife.
Me wife. Hey, me wife.
I'm from Kazakhstan. Where was it?
What were we want?
Oh my god, yes.
Me wife.
Not.
Not.
What if you know where I would go with this franchise? Is a Borat-type direction where there are a bunch of people who do not know that the leprechaun is a guy who's in on the bit. And it's just, like, hidden camera stuff of him, like, encountering, like, the real America. Like, him going to a super, like, Trump MAGA gas station and being like,
hey, I can't reach these shirts, but I want to buy one. It says the media is the real virus. Hey, hi, hi. Me want me shirt.
Just, yeah, just that's where you go. You just take a word and give just jackass public.
I'm Love Don, and this is the riot control test.
No! Well, this movie is basically that. It's what happens if we shoot the leprechaun in the nuts so hard that he flies backwards. I'm looking forward to Leprechaun in Space. And Leprechaun back to the hood, and I'm looking forward to spending more time watching Warwick Davis and learning about him and talking about him, and hopefully across some of these episodes, getting to talk about the legitimately positive contributions that he has made to casting opportunities for people with dwarfism.
Mm-hmm.
Because. Yeah, we fuck with Warwick, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, as you could glean from that whole conversation, we definitively rank the film Leprechaun as a 7 out of 10
Christ.
Stars. We as a whole do this.
We all and, feel like that.
And to just sort of put all of our collective, we all feel this way, feelings... into a concise bit, we stumbled across
together. We all held the mouse and clicked it.
We all held the mouse. We found a review on IMDb user reviews that really sums it all up for us by user Atinder. Thank you.
Atinder, thank you.
Atinder is the username. The review title: a fun movie. Fun is capitalized. Movie is not. I saw this on Patty Dad. This movie started of quicker than I thought it would be, and in the first scenes, we already the green little monster. There was very funny moment in this movie that made laugh. There's some very silly moments in this movie that I don't think were that funny at times. They tried to be a little too funny. I would have thought this movie would have been a lot more gory than it was. There was some bloody moment. I never seen anyone get killed by pogo stick before. 2 out of 4 found this helpful. Was this review helpful? Let us know on the user reviews. Give us 5 stars.
Click yes. Yes,
it was
helpful.
Really helpful.
Very helpful.
There was very funny moment in this movie that made laugh.
If I read that, you know, before, and I was like, do I want to watch this one? I'd be like, I want to see Pogo Stick. I want to see Pogo Stick. And we didn't get into Pogo Stick, and we should have, but there was good Pogo Stick.
Oh, right, yeah, there's a whole pawn shop scene we didn't talk about. real quick, maybe I'll put this in earlier, but they go to a pawn shop, and like pawn shop owners do when someone brings someone and he looks at it and is like, this could be priceless. This is worth so much money. Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. Oh, a fun movie.
A perfect film. I hope the rest are just like it, and I can't wait to see how women's liberation turns out.
It all goes great. It all goes great. Me want me franchise. Me want me horse.
Me dead me horse. Bye.
Me dead me horse.
Me dead me horse. Bye, everyone.
Dead Horse is hosted by Becky Granger, Dixon Cashwell, and PJ Audenzia. We'd like to thank Max Huffman for our podcast art. So go to his website, maxhuffman.com, and order his book, Cover Not Final. For episode updates and exclusive horse content, follow us on Instagram at Dead Horse Podcast. And go give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Tell them all what a contribution this is to film discourse that we're doing bad critical theory on the Leprechaun franchise. Would you sign my petition to give the Leprechaun franchise a float at the Atlanta Pride Parade? Give us a follow on IG. We'll get you writing letters to your senators about all kinds of stupid shit. Alright, bye-bye.